Is anyone here in the public that wishes to be heard by the Marine Resources Commission on matters that are not before us on the agenda? Is there anyone that wishes to be heard by the commission in public comments on matters that are not before the commission agenda? Yes, ma'am. Come forward, please. Yes, ma'am. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You state your name for the record, please.
Mary Hill.
Yes, ma'am. Proceed, please.
I come before you really not pre-planned, just basically coming to you at the mercy for some form of redress. I'm a seventh generation, and I've been before you before, but I don't have any other recourse. But I'm a seventh generation of Watermans, and I'm the first female of color, particularly in my family, and attempting to resurrect a legacy that was left by my father and my 98-year-old mother. It's been a tasking effort, but I do it with a passion of love, and in trying to continue to take care of my mother, who I made a promise to my father before he passed away. So I've been taking care of my mother full time for 20 years, 24/7. And when I emerged in this, I call myself doing my due diligence, and I try to treat people the way I would want to be treated. But it seems like I'm not accepted in this industry, and I was even told by someone that I was a black female in a white man's industry. And this person wasn't black. I've had my boat sunk when I purchased it in 2013. 2 days before, after I purchased it, to put it out in the water to start harvesting oysters on my grounds that I pay you for. And then later on, fast forward a year ago, I call myself, hiring someone that I can trust because you issued them a commercial fisherman's license to go out on the river and work. So because I was at a disadvantage not having a boat and not being, able to recover from my boat being sunk, I had the result to seeking out a waterman. So last year I hired a waterman, and I thought he was doing right by me, and he was stealing from me. And I contacted VMRC. They investigated it. It wasn't like, something that I was falsely accusing someone of, but it was found that it was grand larceny for the amount that he stole from me and harvesting my oysters and selling them to someone and not knowing anyway. But unfortunately, this man passed away before the Commonwealth Attorney of Isle of Wight could prosecute him. And I'm sorry that he passed away. He had health issues, even during the time that he was working my ground. So, I don't know, sometimes, people just don't fear God. But just recent, after that, I get a call from Mr. Joe Melzer from Dockside, because he was very empathetic with what I had happened to me, and I never recovered from that either, that he had a waterman that was interested in, working my grounds. And I felt a sense of security that where he would be working would be the grounds adjacent to his dockside business, where he could see who comes and who goes. And, you hope that people have intentions of doing right, if we lived in a perfect world. But I get notified that this particular waterman was going out on my grounds after he had came in from unloading to dockside. And it was discovered or by other watermen that he was actually working on my grounds and even in the public grounds adjacent to mine. And these oysters were in his boat, took to the slip, and they weren't even covered with ice. They were just sitting in his boat, I guess, to take the sale to somebody else who I was told, you know, he was keeping oysters to take to Pocosin that came from my grounds. But Mr. Joe Melzer was aware of this, and the waterman, Calvin Gibbs, told Mr. Melzer that he took the oysters off of the public. He didn't take them off my grounds. But Mr. Joe Melzer was like, I don't do business with anybody like that. You're no longer allowed on my business. And so this waterman was understood that he could not, he understood that the only person he would sell my oysters to was Mr. Melzer, no one else. And so when he was reported to VMRC about the oysters that was in his boat overnight with no ice, the VMRC police came out and the oysters were there, and then he wanted to say he had just caught them or something, and he didn't say he took them off the public. Now he says he took them off of my grounds, and I can't understand why the Virginia Marine Police would escort him to dump oysters on my grounds that they found in his boat that was not covered with ice that could have been contaminated, and then issued him three violations and didn't feel a need to notify me as a leaseholder. So when I found this out from Mr. Melzer, I immediately contacted VMRC and asked them to revoke his permit. Then the following day, which was last Saturday, I get a call from Mr. Melzer and said that he is on my grounds working. And he's not allowed to come back to him. So where is he going to go to sell my oysters? I don't know. But I contacted immediately the dispatch, and Sergeant Clark contacted me, and I expressed my concerns that I do not want him on my grounds. Whatever he's harvested off of my grounds in his boat, I want him to shovel them back over. So Officer Springfield, another officer, went out to where he was on my grounds, and he's going to call me and tell me, you know, I can't stop him from working your grounds because I don't see where there was a permit revoked. And I have a text message, phone log, where I asked for his permit to be revoked the day before. So Officer Springfield didn't feel the need to have him to shovel my oysters back over on my grounds. He said, you know, he has a right to work my grounds because there's no proof of me revoking his permit. And I'm like, I'm the leaseholder. I'm talking to you. I don't want him on my grounds. So he's going to tell me, well, he's going to take your oysters to Deep Creek and sell them. Sell them to who? So he says, well, I'm going to follow him, and once he gets there, I'm going to see who he's going to sell your oysters to, and then I'm going to give you the person's number to call. Okay, so he gets there, and then he sees who he's unloading to, which is Sea Farm, Ron Sipko, that I haven't spoke to in about 3 years. And so Officer Springfield gives me his number. I called this man. And I said, I understand Calvin Gibbs is unloading my oysters to you. And he said, yes. And he acknowledged that he knew me. And I said, but I only gave him permission to sell my oysters to JoJo Melzer, Dockside. I didn't give him authorization to sell my oysters to you. So he says, well, I've already paid him. I said, well, can you stop payment? And on this, because I only want you to pay me and I'll take care of him. He says, I can't do that. Banks are closed. Okay. So Till this day, I have not heard from that waterman. And I understand, and I'm being told that, you know, it's a civil matter. I'm being told that, you know, I need to take responsibility and hire someone who's reputable. I thought that I was, because this man had a commercial fisherman license. I thought that I was being responsible in revoking his permit. And now I'm being told that there is nothing in the code to say that the VMRC has a right to revoke someone's permit. So I'm just trying to get some kind of redress or some kind, because I mean, I bought this book from you guys on laws of Virginia relating to marine resources of the Commonwealth, and it speaks in here about, you know, larceny. It speaks in here about, you know, someone, you know, oysters being taken off of someone's any person other than a holder, you know, that takes oysters, shells or oysters are found guilty of larceny, and the other waterman that was stealing from me was charged with larceny. So, you know,
What exactly do you want us to do for you?
I feel that the Virginia Marine Resources Commission should have some accountability for what could have been prevented, because now it has escalated to the point where now I have to go and issue a warrant for someone stealing from me when I asked this officer which I notified VMRC to revoke this waterman's permit. But
all right, hold on just a second. I have a question.
Yep.
When she's talking about revoking her permit, she's not talking about his commercial license or anything like that.
No.
She's talking about a permit that she's issued to work her ground?
A permit that she has authorized for an individual to have a dredge on the boat. Not necessarily to work the grounds, per se, but to have a dredge on her boat on her grounds. As you well know, you are not a supervisory board, unlike the game department. This is an advisory, a policy board. But Ms. Hill has called me this morning, and I have tried to explain to her the situation. If you heard the first part of her discussion, she trusted a commercial waterman last year to go and work her ground, and the individual ended up stealing oysters from her. He did not provide her compensation for that. We then investigated the matter, made the case. Unfortunately, or for whatever, the individual died before prosecution occurred. Now, on a second occasion, Ms. Hill then, by virtue of the fact that, according to her testimony, trusted a Mr. JoJo Melzer, who I know Joe well, who recommended, I presume, a Mr. Calvin Gibbs to go and work her ground. Okay? Mr. Gibbs, right, wrong, or indifferent, did basically the same thing that the previous man did. He went off and he decided to take liberty with the oysters, allegedly, from her ground. She then finds out through communication that Mr. Gibbs is now taking these oysters and not doing what he's supposed to with them, and then texts one of our Marines, come up here, Colonel Rose, if you'd like, correct me if I go wrong, texts one of our Marine police officers at nighttime at about 4:45 and advises him that he would like her permit revoked. Normally and traditionally, when you authorize a permit to be issued, you're responsible for the execution of what goes on with that permit on your grounds. If you do not want an individual that is an agent working your ground, you tell that person, you're not working my ground anymore, give me my permit back. If they don't give you the permit back, then we can come into play. But in this situation, she notified the officer. The officer then come in.
She notified Officer Hawkins at 18:45 on Friday afternoon.
Which is 6:45 for those who are not military, but anyway.
Officer Hawkins ended duty Friday at 1600.
turned his phone off. It did not turn it back on until he came on duty Monday morning.
So he was not, he was, in other words, the message came in when the phone was off.
Correct.
Okay.
Saturday morning, Mrs. Hill and First Sergeant Clark had a conversation. And she told First Sergeant Clark that she did not want Mr. Gibson on her ground in the vessel Mary T. dredging oysters. So First Sergeant Clark notified Case Springfield.
Officer Springfield.
And Officer Springfield intercepted Mr. Gibson in the river, informed him that he was not to be on Mrs. Hill's ground working anymore, that she did not want him there.
Where in the river did he intercept him? Do you know?
I did not know.
Okay.
I believe it was in the James River, not the Tagan.
So bottom line was not over top of her ground?
No.
Okay.
But that's where he worked.
We don't know that. We don't know that. There's no way of proving where those oysters came from.
So, I believe you asked Officer Springfield to find out who Mr. Gibson was selling the oysters to.
No, I didn't know he was going to sell any oysters to anybody because I asked Officer Springfield because he said he was where he was on my grounds and he had about 19 to 20 bushels of oysters. I asked him to have him to shovel them back on my grounds. And he says he couldn't do that.
And the reason he said he couldn't do that, when he told Mr. Gibson that you no longer wanted him there, he stopped. But up until that point, he was operating in good faith. He had no idea that you did not want him on that ground.
Yes,
so then Officer Springfield basically follows this boat over to Deep Creek where Ron Sopko is buying oysters. Officer Springfield had no duty whatsoever to intervene and do anything at that point, except he did. He went and asked Mr. Sopko, you know, find out where it was being sold to, and then Mr. Sopko then contacted Ms. Hill by virtue of our intervention, and Mr. Sopko said, I've already paid the person that you authorized to work your ground to, I've already paid him for the oysters. So what we've got is a situation where last year Ms. Hill authorized an individual who was not obviously honest, who stole from her, and we worked the case. As I spoke with Ms. Hill this morning and told her, I said, you've done the same thing again, Ms. Hill. You've engaged with someone on a verbal contract, and she agreed. She said a verbal contract is not worth it. I said, it's not.
No, I didn't say that,
okay.
Mr. Bowman.
Right.
And Mr. Bowman.
Ma'am, let me finish.
Let me finish.
There are numerous times where Ms. Hill contacts the Marine Police and asks us to be her agent in undertaking matters that I believe that are civil in nature. This situation, again, is a matter, Mr. Zedrin, you correct me if I'm wrong, when you engage in a verbal agreement with someone, it's not the Commonwealth's obligation to collect the fees or the cost or whatever for that unless it's specifically authorized by code. So I wanted Ms. Hill to come to tell you the story of what she's been going through just so that you would hear it firsthand.
You didn't even know I was coming today.
Oh, yes, ma'am, I did.
You might have heard it from Colonel Rose, but you didn't hear it from me, and you didn't employ me. And I have the utmost high respect for you, even before you became commissioner, you know. But I've never tried to engage this agency to be an agent for me. I rely on this agency for, you know, to
assist you.
Assist me.
Yes, ma'am.
And to educate me. And I try, and I do comply. And therefore, when it came to the permit, because, you know, I'm just trying to make sure that myself as a female of color,
being a female and being of color has absolutely nothing to do with the decisions that I make or the administration makes at this agency. You have used that term several times in your presentation. I deal with everyone regardless of their race, sex, color, creed, and I have never, ever been accused of not doing that. So I don't know why you keep.
That you did. Because every time I try to do my due diligence, it seems like there are challenges or obstacles being put in my way. And as
some of them
as
are of your own undertaking.
How are they of my own undertaking?
When you hire someone to do your work, and then you don't have a contract with them where they're supposed to provide you X number of dollars on X number of days at X certain time, and then they go and steal from you, it's kind of difficult to do anything.
In your investigation, if you look in your records, there was a contract that I signed with the warderman.
Which one?
Mr. Green.
That's the one that's dead. You didn't do it with this one.
But you said I didn't sign a contract.
Ma'am.
And I did. And a verbal contract is just as binding as a written one. And I had Mr. Jojo Melzer to be the person of interest in paying the warderman. I'm not asking you to engage in getting my money. All I'm asking you what you
the permit's been revoked.
The permit has been revoked, but it should have been revoked when I asked when I said to Officer Springfield and but he says he relied on what the warderman said. And I said, my integrity is honorable. I'm saying to you, I'm the leaseholder. I don't want him on my grounds. I want the orchards that he said he took from my grounds to be put back over. Now, those orchards are supposed to be tagged. So if they're sold to Dockside, Jojo Melzer, or whoever the buyer is, it's supposed to be a lease on that tag.
Okay.
And they came from my grounds, which I didn't give him authorization to sell to another buyer, only to, and he, this waterman knew that, only to Dockside Seafood. So
okay.
If he's going to go and sell to someone else and have never contacted me, even after he was issued those three violations, which I believe was connected to him saying that he took from my grounds that weren't on ice, that the Marine Resource Police escorted him back to put on my grounds.
Okay, maybe just to cut. We've revoked the permit. Do you think the citizens of the Commonwealth owe you for that barrel or that boatload of
horses? I'm not here for that. I'm here for the fact that I feel like that, no.
Okay.
No, I didn't ask
when you asked for redress, I didn't know what that meant.
Okay, and I didn't ask you for that when Mr. Green stole from me. Okay, I relied on the Commonwealth to prosecute him, but then after he died, he said he can't prosecute a dead man. So,
okay.
You know, so that's up to me, and I never came back to you about that.
Mm-hmm.
My situation is that it's caused me irreparable harm as a result of Officer Springfield, and even that Friday when they found those oysters in his boat that he says came from my grounds. But yet he told Mr. Jojo Melzer that they came from the public. There was violations issued to him. And if those violations didn't have anything to do with them escorting him to put those oysters back on my grounds, then I can respect the fact that they didn't have a need to contact me. But if they did, then I had a need and a right to know that he stole from me the day before because it was in the bottom of his boat, that they have had him to escort back onto my grounds that had no ice on them, and God knows whether they were contaminated or not. So
Mr. Zadron has a question.
Sir. I don't think the commission should engage in any kind of conduct of accusing anyone of doing any kind of illegal criminal activity or saying that somebody did or even discussing this in the public. If this lady feels that there has been a criminal violation that has occurred, the appropriate remedy would be to go to the Commonwealth attorney that has jurisdiction over that and make your complaint and let them do an investigation. And if there is evidence sufficient of that, then they can proceed with an indictment or a charge, and you can process that through them. Here again, I feel that we should not be discussing any kind of accusations of criminal activity about anybody because we're not in a position to know what the facts are.
As I explained earlier today, I'm like, when she asked why I couldn't call her and tell her somebody had gotten even a summons, I said, not been convicted. If I call and just tell you that, could be defamation of character. So I agree with you, sir. I do. All right. Thank you, Ms. Hill.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Anyone else in the public wish to be heard?